Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Now, the conventional wisdom says that all this change is due to young people growing up with different attitudes than their parents, than their parents and their grandparents had. And anybody who has kids knows that there's some truth to that. The basic attitude is, I'm sorry, what is it that you're talking about here? What's the big deal? But what's been remarkable is the way Americans of all age groups are increasingly embracing marriage equality.
The world's burning and you're talking about gay marriage.
They understand love is love. Mm-hmm. And for many people whose minds have changed, it was love that did it.
Tell that to the Islamists, see if love
child,
works with them.
Or the grandchild, or
give
the friend,
peace a chance with the Islamists, Barry.
Who sat down one day and held their hands and took a deep breath and said, I'm gay.
He admitted it? What did he just say? Was that a code? What was going on in this country?
It's so much better.
The world is on fire, and this clown is in front of the LGBT crowd in New York talking about gay marriage and fundraising. And the other Schmendrick, the vice president, is in Rio de Janeiro watching a soccer game. Can you believe the country has fallen to this level that the two leading clowns in the country, the world is on fire. The world is on fire. The Islamists are burning churches to the ground in every city they occupy. They've seized tanks, which they're sending to their brethren in Syria. Thank you, John McCain. And Schmendrick one is at the LGBT dinner in New York, raising money, talking about gay marriage like that's the cure-all for the world. And the other Schmendrick is in Rio de Janeiro talking about a soccer game. Play the music again, will you please, because I think it went over their heads. Start the show all over again. See, I'm rehearsing for the time that the Comandante of America, El Comandante Obama, takes over the media and says, thou shalt not be the First Amendment because I don't like it, because it criticizes me. And then I have to revert simply to playing rock and roll and working in some politics in code words, the way he works code words in, as he did in the last speech. What's interesting to me is that Hillary Clinton went on CNN and Fox last night, and as I predicted, the teddy bear Brett threw her custard, asked her whether she wanted vanilla, chocolate, or strawberry. And Scarface asked her if she liked sprinkles, chocolate, or vanilla on the custard that they threw at her on Fox News. And then she went over to CNN where, shockingly, with a stage stooge town hall meeting right out of the ex-Soviet Union, the questions were actually tougher on CNN than they were on Fox. And Hillary shocked everyone by saying the illegal alien children surging into America from Honduras and Guatemala with a little help from their friends in the White House need to be sent home. I was shocked. Now, she's a smart enough politician to understand that 99% of all Americans understand that it's not sustainable to let all of the world's poor and destitute come to this country. Everyone knows that. Everyone except the Republicans. Have you heard one major Republican candidate for the presidency in the year 2016 say one word against the surge of illegal alien children that are being brought over our borders by the way, the drug cartels? The best we can figure out is that it's the drug cartels who are bringing them in order to bring in drugs and gangbangers to circulate the drugs. Have you heard one Republican say they should be sent back? No, you haven't. No, you haven't. You haven't one Republican who will stand up to this surge. Why do you think that Hillary Clinton right now on this issue of illegal alien children is to the right of the coffee bean, who I affectionately gave that name to, what's his name, Cruz is the coffee bean, the ice cream man, that's the guy from Miami, whose name I forget, who is he, the irrelevant Rubio is the ice cream man, Clink is Boehner. That's for the sound of the ice falling in his glass every time he hits the cloakroom in the House of Representatives to pour himself another one. The gobbler, that's Mitch McConnell because of the gullet. And then, of course, the stale bagel would be the guy who just lost in Virginia last week. I forget his name already. Kaplan's Deli? Kaplan? Cantor? Cantor, sorry. I'll be accused of something if I mix his name up. So we got the coffee bean, the ice cream man, Clink the gobbler, and the stale bagel on the Republican side. Not one of them said one word about the illegal alien children for fear that they'd alienate the Hispanics. Well, even Hillary Clinton understands that the nation consists of more than Hispanic voters. She remembers that the majority of voters happen to be of European-American descent, and they are so pissed off, it's unbelievable. They understand what's going on. She's actually to the right of the others. And then you look at the others on the Democrat side. You got Debbie Wasserman Schultz, the water carrier. You got Dianne Feinstein, the scarf. You got Nancy Pelosi, the screeching hawk. You got Charles Schumer, the human corned beef with eyes. You got Mr. Gutierrez, the slimy reptile. And then you have Turban Durbin. Those are the leading voices in the Democrat socialist machine. And Hillary is to the right of them. So the question of the day is, I don't know. What is the question of the day? Here's one. Do you believe Obama can still lead given his ratings collapse? Do you believe Obama can still lead given his ratings collapse? Now, that's an odd question, because of course he can lead. He can lead the illegal aliens over the border. He can lead the LGBT crowd to fits of hysteria over gay marriage. He can lead the bureaucrats to increased control over our daily lives. But as far as the rest of America, who can he lead? They've all abandoned him. No one believes a word he says. Everyone knows he's a sham, a shill. I tried the high road. I wrote a letter to the president on Monday. You didn't even listen to me. You didn't even listen to me. I tried to appeal to his higher nature. Did I get a call from the White House and say, Mike, come and break fries with us? No. Did Michelle reach out to me and say, let's have some fries together? No. Did the president say, come and play a round of golf with me? Maybe he knows that I grew up poor in the Bronx and I don't play golf. That could be the reason. But at least I could have been his caddy, but he didn't even ask me to caddy and carry his clubs for him. He doesn't need a caddy. He's got a cart. He could have said, come on over to the White House and let's talk about it, Mike, but he didn't. He's written us all off. And so the dream activists at the White House are the enemies of America, as you well know. They do not stand for anything that America wants. They stand only for the Central American invaders. And the fact of the matter is, this has to stop. The illegals are being treated better than our veterans. The illegals are getting better medical care than our veterans. The illegals are being given better care than our homeless. The illegals are being more benefits and services than your father who served in your grandfather who served in World War II. What kind of country are you living in? Play that funky, play the song again. Dance. This is disco, is it? I think that's a disco beat. It's disco. When I think of disco, I think of the guy with the hair plugs who flies 747s, the actor. I like it. Travolta. I can't remember his name. I remember the hair plugs and the airplane flying. I feel bad for John Travolta. I don't have any enmity towards him. Why do they need hair plugs? I mean, this is life. As a man gets older, here's what happens. Hair grows where you don't want it, and you lose it where you do want it. So hair grows on a... No, hair grows on the back of your knuckles. You don't need it there. You look like an ape. Hair grows on the back of your back. You don't need it there. I mean, you're not competing with King Kong. And hair grows in the back. All of the hippies, the older hippies who get married at 50 or 60 and have children, they specialize in the ponytail with the bald front and changing a child's diaper on the restaurant table. While you're out with your girlfriend. Have you ever seen all the people in restaurants? They have to make a show of their child. I love this song. Play it loud. I like this. That's Travolta. Staying alive, staying alive, staying. Nero fiddled while Rome burned, and Obama's diddling while America burns. Staying alive, staying alive. There's no question about it. It's nuts. It's nuts. Iraq is on fire because of his cut-and-run policies. They're burning churches to the ground. He doesn't say a word about it. Instead, he goes and talks about gay marriage as though that's the salvation for humanity. It's unbelievable to me. And then we have the other doofus in Rio de Janeiro watching a soccer game, and we're supposed to take the Democrat Party seriously? Are you kidding me? Now, in the midst of all of this, you have the very same chicken hawks, some call them neocons, calling for blood and warfare and bombs. The very same people who got so many of our boys killed are doing it again. The neocons who gave us the false lie about weapons of mass destruction are at it again. And I include Charles Kraut, Sauerkrauthammer on that. Here's, you know, I don't like Charles Krauthammer. I'll tell you why. Because he hides behind a sour demeanor and thinks that just looking sour makes him look intellectual. Now, Krauthammer's always been a Democrat. That's fine, but now they're calling him a conservative columnist, Charles Krauthammer. He's calling for air power against the Islamists in ISIS. I don't even like ISIS too much because I don't think that's the proper acronym for these people. I would call them fascist murderers instead of ISIS. What are you calling them ISIS for? Fascist Islamic murderers or Islamic fascists or Islamo-Nazis is a better word. It's unbelievable to me. They're capturing troops and shooting them in the back of the head by the truckload, and the degenerates in the UN say nothing. So, you know, there's a lot to get angry over, and I'm not going to be the one to get angry for you. You're the one who has to get angry come November. You have one shot at this country. That's November. You press R. Now, as bad as they are, that's all we've got. The only chance we have is to throw out the entire Socialist Party. Forget the word D. D stands for S. S stands for socialist. But it stands more than for socialist. There are socialists who are quite patriotic, and there are socialists who are also quite militant and also quite macho. These are cowardly anti-American socialists. Every last one of them in the Democrat Party needs to be thrown out. You must press R to save America. And I'm not going to get involved in any specific campaign. I never have, and I never will. I don't think in my 20-year career I've really gotten on the air and pitched for any candidate, because I think, frankly, it's not my place to do that. I can tell you what I think you ought to do in generic terms. But I think that when we start pushing candidates, we're actually stepping on some federal rules here, truthfully. But it's not entirely true in a way. I mean, we invite the Democrats on the show. They never come on the show. I had one Democrat come on the show only once. That was over 10 years ago. Charles Schumer, to his credit, stepped across the aisle, and he came on the show to support my call for the abolition of who knows what. Does anyone remember what Charles Schumer came on the show for? I'll tell you what, we'll have a little... No, I know what for. No, I want my old listeners who are listening to get a reward, and I want my new listeners to understand I've been at this a long time. Charles Schumer came on this show, and with his help and with my audience's help, we blocked the most important thing you can imagine on this program. We had tremendous influence by crossing the aisle. Anyone who gets that right, one caller on that alone will get a free copy of any one of my great best-selling books. This is The Savage Nation. It's about, God, I don't know the time. I can't look at the time every minute. I can't say, hello, infidels, give me 15 minutes. I can't say, give me 15 minutes and I'll give you America. Oh, I just did? Okay, I'll be back.
Join The Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from, SwissAmerica.com.
It's often used to describe Jewish Americans. Because, as it happens, some of the original thinkers...
I thought you were going to play Hillary.
...whose ideas have now been characterized by this general term, neoconservative, were in fact Jewish. And it often carries conspiratorial tones on the part of people.
This is Richard Perle, one of the architects of the Iraq War, who is a neocon, who is now trying, in my opinion, to use the canard of, if you criticize him and his beating of the war drums, you're an anti-Semite. It's an old game. It's been used before, and he's a victim now. I don't really care what his religion might be. I care about the fact that he's one of the architects who got us into the Iraq War under Bush 2, and now he's trying to do it again. It's that simple. And for him to use this canard of Jewish Americans is a code word, and the neocons are a code word for Jewish Americans, is nonsense. It's rubbish. Let's hear clip 14. It's more of the same. It's really embarrassing, frankly.
The truth is that if you Google neoconservative and you read any number of, randomly read articles about neoconservatives, you will discover that the neoconservatives themselves are almost never quoted. That is, they are not permitted to define their own views. Their views are being defined by their critics.
But wait a minute. Hold it. Mr. Perle, you define your views quite clearly when you said we should use air power against the Islamo-fascists who are invading Iraq. So you can't say that you're not saying that. You are saying that. So now you're hiding behind first anti-Semitism. Then you say nobody knows what your positions really are. We know what your position is. My position is quite clear. The hell with Iraq. How's that for a position? Let them kill each other. How's that for a position? Let Saudi Arabia, let Israel, let Jordan, let the other countries in the area who are directly threatened by the Islamo-fascist murderers do something about it. It's not our place to be the world's policemen. That's what the graveyards are saying to you, Mr. Pearl. Don't the graves speak to you when you see military cemeteries in America? Don't they speak to you, Mr. Pearl? How much blood is enough for this country to expend on somebody else's civil war? The Shiites and the Sunnis have been killing each other for 1,000 years. Do you actually think that bombing this wave of Islamo-fascists, who are as evil, if not more evil, than Hitler's minions, will actually stop the Shia and the Sunnis from hating each other for another 1,000 years? I don't believe so. You're a very intelligent man, Mr. Pearl, and you should know by now that bombing one side of a civil war doesn't help the other necessarily. It just fuels the fire. That's one man's opinion. I'll be right back on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Well, they should be sent back as soon as it can be determined who responsible adults and their families are, because there are concerns about whether all of them can be sent back, but I think all of them who can be should be reunited with their families. And just as Vice President Biden is arguing today in Central America, we've got to do more. I started this when I was secretary to deal with the violence in this region, to deal with border security. But we have to send a clear message. Just because your child gets across the border, that doesn't mean the child gets to stay.
I don't know whether it's lip service, but that's Hillary Clinton going to the right of most of the Republicrats on this issue. They don't belong here. They're illegal aliens. They're sucking our social services dry. They're getting better care than our veterans are. They're being treated better than our homeless are. What kind of nation does this? Who is doing this to us? Well, you know who's doing this to us, and it's all part of the Alinsky plan. Those of you who studied Obama's mentor, Saul Alinsky, understand exactly what is going on and exactly what the clown in the White House and his minions in the Justice Department and the minions in the Homeland Security Department are doing to this country. They're busting it wide open like a can of sardines, and they're doing it on purpose. What do you mean I'm in favor of border security? How many years have I heard this trash about we're in favor of border security? What the hell are our troops doing? Put our troops on the border with Mexico. Put our National Guard on the border with Mexico. And presto, you have border security in 5 minutes. What do you mean you have to study this? How much do you have to study? What's there to study? The cartels are behind this. Ask the Border Patrol agents who know more about this than anyone in America what's going on. The cartels are ushering the children across the border. I've asked over and over again, how do you think they're getting through Mexico without being molested? The Mexicans treat El Salvadorans and Guatemalans very badly. I have a Guatemalan friend, a very tough guy, and he had not been so tough, he'd be dead. The Mexicans beat them up and robbed them. They don't let them walk through their country to America. They beat them up and leave them for dead half the time. So you're telling me all these children are just walking through Mexico? They're not walking through. They're being ushered from Mexico. And the fact of the matter is they're being ushered by the drug cartels who do human smuggling as well. So don't tell me we don't know what's going on. If we, the people, know what's going on, how could the Department of Homeland Security pretend he's powerless? How can Obama go to an LGBT dinner and sit there like a moron talking about gay marriage while this is going on, while Iraq is burning? How could Biden be at a soccer game while this is going on? The country is burning. It is falling apart. So, that's the point. Now, we have a winner, by the way, on who it was on the Democrat side who joined me on this program over 10 years ago to stop Bush's desire for Dubai to take over our shipping ports. KSFO, Tom, you're a winner. Ring the bell. Ring the bell. Ring the bell. Tom's the winner. Tom, give us the story on the Schumer deal.
You and Chuck Schumer worked together to stop the Dubai takeover of the United States ports.
That is exactly right, Tom, and you're getting a free copy of one of my hardcover bestsellers, either Abuse of Power or Trickle Down Tyranny. Either one will be sent out to you. Thank you very much. People don't realize that, but I should have been given the Presidential Medal of Freedom for what I did. George Bush wanted his friends in Dubai. He wanted to outsource the security in our ports, 9 of our ports, to the folks in Dubai who you well know are not our friends. They may pretend they're our friends, but there may be many of them who are not our friends. He was going to give them carte blanche to run the security in our major national ports. I was screaming bloody murder about it. Charles Schumer came on the show, agreed with me, and then Congress moved to stop it. And I also remember that during that strange period when old Bush was trying to transfer port security to the nation of Dubai, which is astounding to me looking backwards, he had his dumb nephew give a speech because the nephew said anyone who opposes this is a racist, is anti-Arab, anti-Muslim. He's the same dumb nephew who gave a speech saying that anyone who opposes illegal aliens is a racist. They had. If you think this just started under Obama, you're mistaken. You're really mistaken. It's metastasized, yes. The disease has gotten far worse, but it certainly didn't start with Obama. He's just making it worse than it ever was. You know, make no mistakes about that. So as I say, I take credit for having stopped the Dubai port deal, and that should go into my Wikipedia page, Doug, to make sure that the haters are controlled a little bit in their despicable description of Michael Savage. I'm an American hero. I am the Paul Revere of our time. And frankly, the Dubai port deal alone, for that alone, I should be given the Presidential Medal of Freedom by Bush, but he didn't. He didn't invite me to the library. Would you believe it? After 28 books, boo hoo hoo. Laura Bush didn't consider me a sufficient author to invite her to the library. Boo hoo hoo. I didn't get to eat shrimp with the president. Boo hoo hoo. Now let's take some callers on the Savage Nation. WJR in Detroit, Daniel, you're on the Savage Nation.
Yeah, Mr. Savage, I'd just like to say to you that, you know, when you refer to the president as a champion, you're okay, but it's important to inform the listeners that when you're talking about a champion politician, you're talking about the greatest liar, the greatest deceiver of the people. And yes, nobody can touch him. He is the greatest liar. But as far as referring him to be a boxer, look, there ain't a country on the planet that fears this guy. He's the biggest guy. Here, you said it best. While the world, the man should be thrown out of office. He's the biggest.
Absolutely. He should be impeached for many things. Many, many things he's done are impeachable. The number one thing is breaking our border. That's the number one thing. He's impeached for that. The Homeland Security chief should be fired for that. There should be an immediate hearing. He should be thrown out. He's handpicked by Obama. Every one of these stooges is handpicked by Obama and Holder to do the bidding of the radical left and La Raza. We know that.
A secret weapon, the illiterate voter. Because it was like your caller the other day, if they're not that illiterate, they won't vote for them. So it's true. Even the Bible said, many will come, fewer call. There's more bad and evil than there are good. And just like your caller the other day, she's a perfect Obama voter. He depends.
Oh, the one who said, the woman who called and said, now you know your place, the European below the African. You're talking about the woman who was so racist that she didn't even know she was being a racist? I heard that call, all right? That was disgusting, that call. It really was. We should play it again, Sam, but not right now. I mean, I don't want to replay that one up. House Foreign Affairs Committee hearing on implications of Bergdahl exchange. Oh, God, that's exciting. The country's being overrun by Central Americans who are going to kill us in terms of social services, and they're talking about the last insult of Sololinsky in the White House. The militants, so-called, are burning churches to the ground. I love when they call them militants. They are rounding up enemy soldiers who are fellow Muslims, by the way. Well, let's say co-religionists, to put it that way. They're rounding them up, putting them in trucks, making them bend over and shooting them in the back of the head, and the world is not screaming. Instead, Obama's speaking to LGBTs about gay marriage as though that's the salvation for the universe. It's amazing to me. It's a madness. It's a total madness. Now, I got to back up from all of this. I really have to back up from all of this. And I'll tell you why and where I'm coming from. This is for those of you who listen regularly for all these years. I don't know if the new listener is going to go along with me on this. They may or they may not. They may just want to hear the politics or the humor or the music. But I got to back up and take a deep breath for a second. At the time I'm speaking on the air right now, every night, after the show's over, I take a nap, then I have dinner or whatever, and then I've been working on editing my own journals, going back to 1963. That's a long time ago. And I have a copy of every one of the journals I've written since 1963, when I was very young. And I have the first green volume, it's been typed, and I'm looking at it, and I see how naive and optimistic I was in 1963. Big trip to Europe, first trip to Europe. how I set forth on the motor vessel Waterman with a friend, and we go to Europe, and I go to Southampton, and I go to Paris, and I go to London, and I go to Barcelona, and this is all in a short period of time, a young American college student, I don't know what, you know, it was post-college, I don't exactly know when, big trip, first time out of America, and my eyes were open like a child, and my dreams, and in my journals, I write certain things such as, Dear future reader, I know one day many of you will be reading my words, and I'm speaking to you, and it was astounding to me is I always knew that I had a calling in plain English. Now, maybe that sounds pompous. I don't mean to be pompous. God knows there's enough of that on my show. Maybe that's a little egotistical, and God knows there's an awful lot of ego on this show. But I knew that I had a calling, and I knew it even then. And I knew it as a young writer and as a young traveler and as a young dreamer. I had an audience waiting for me. I didn't know when. I didn't know how. I came from humble origins. I had no connections whatsoever. Nobody would help me. I've crawled on broken glass. I've walked on hot coals to get where I am. And I knew then that I had a calling and that I have an audience. And now after 28 published books, I'm reading my own journals, going back to 1963. And here I am, in essence, talking to my older self in my younger book. And it's a pretty amazing thing because the Bible warns us don't look back or you'll turn to a pillar of salt. And as I look at these journals, I wonder, should I be looking at them? I mean, maybe I shouldn't even be reading my own journals because I'm liable to turn to a pillar of salt. But I find this strange thing happening to me as I read these journals. You know what it is? I find myself to be a mellower person. I find myself to be almost 22 years old again inside rather than the age I am. In other words, the young guy who wrote those journals is talking to me, the old guy who's talking to you. And the young guy was a softer person than I am. The young guy was a more idealistic person than I am. The young guy was more of a dreamer than I am. In other words, the young guy was not yet jaded. The young guy still saw a pure world that he could somehow go off into this pure world and do some beautiful things. Well, I don't see that anymore. I see that the borders, language, and culture message that I've put out has been stamped on and broken. You know, there's a song, The Grapes of Wrath, stamping out the grapes of wrath. Well, we have a president who's done the opposite. Instead of stamping out the grapes of wrath, he has planted the grapes of wrath in this nation. He is fertilizing the grapes of wrath in this nation. He is watering the grapes of wrath in this nation. He is bringing sunshine upon the grapes of wrath in this nation. And that's why I say to you, my friends, I have a calling and has brought me this far. Where it will bring me tomorrow, I don't really know. I honestly don't know. I didn't plan on even talking about this, but it's sort of seeping out of my subconscious as I speak with you. I can only do politics for a certain intense period of time, and then I have to break from it. That's not the whole world to me. It's not the stars, moon, the earth, moon, and the stars. There's a lot more in the world than just politics, and sometimes I have to tell you about the deeper aspects of my soul and also my dreams. Where I go from here, I don't know, but I think you have an awful lot to do with it. I think that's all I want to say on this. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
No one knows what we're doing. All right, knock it off. It's a bad segment. Welcome back to the Savage Nation. So Hillary Clinton went on to the Teddy Bear Brett's show and Scarface last night. And as I told you it would be, because I know that the ownership of News Corporation is behind Hillary. They want her to be president. And Fox News conducted a sit-down with the Democratic presidential frontrunner and asked her nothing. There was no testiness whatsoever. In fact, Diane Sawyer the other day was far more contentious, as she should have been, than even Fox News, which is an embarrassment because Bret Baier is a good journalist or commentator. Scarface has done some good work recently. I don't know why they would ruin their careers like this for their ownership, but I guess everyone has to do what they have to do. But they didn't ask her one serious question, not one. And then she went on CNN to a staged town hall meeting where she answered harder questions than she did from the so-called conservative Fox. Isn't that amazing? Okay, trending in politics. Hundreds of armed Mexican officers crossing U.S. border despite Marines stuck in jail. 2, captured Benghazi attack suspect giving interrogators a history lesson on the terror group. I don't believe that. Poll shows Obama hits new low on foreign policy. Those are some of the topics. There are others that are far more important in my thinking. If you get a comment on any of them. The phone number is 855-400-7282. Let's begin on line number 10, WMAL in Washington. Harry, go ahead, make your point, please.
Hi, Dr. Savage, this is Henry, and I am outraged. I have to say I am a young conservative American. I am Hispanic. I'm 33 years old. I'm a business owner. I visit a lot of these Latin restaurants, and I'm a likable guy, and I'm friendly, so I approach a lot of these guys who I believe might be illegally here, and I talk to them, and I ask them about their politics and their views. You know, the first thing they tell me is, these Republicans, they have to accept amnesty, they have to accept the Dream Act, otherwise they're never going to be in power, and that's it. And I just...
But that's because they've been fed the big lie that they're going to determine the course of this country's future. This is because they've been lied to. They're way overplaying their hand. There's a scandal going on right now in the Los Angeles radio market where an executive at Univision Radio was just fired for fudging the numbers to show that the Hispanic audience was bigger than it is. And I'll tell you something else. All this crap we're hearing about Hispanics are controlling the destiny of America is utter rubbish. And to add insult to injury, the illegal aliens now think they have more control over the future of America than the indigenous Americans or the, let us say, legitimate citizens do. Nothing can be farther from the truth. The control of this nation is not in the hand of the busboys. The control of this nation is still in the hands of the citizens. So don't buy that garbage that if you only cater to them and give in to their insistent demands, suddenly they're going to vote Republican. Do you actually believe that?
Dr. Savage, what are we going to do about it? Look, I stand up and I preach and preach conservatism.
I don't care what the busboys who are here illegally think. I'm not here to cater to them. They're in my country illegally. They should pay attention to what I think, not I should pay attention to what they think.
You got it. Absolutely. And I'm not.
Tell them they're in your country and they ought to pay attention to what the people want. And we're sick and tired of them taking our social services without paying taxes. And that one day there's going to be repercussions for this abuse of this system. It may not come under Obama and Biden. It may not even come under the next administration. But the people can only take so much garbage from an invading force like this. And again, I want to repeat what I said to you. They have it upside down. They do not determine the future of this country. We, the legitimate citizens of all races, of all sexual orientations, we determine the future of the nation, not citizens from other countries. And if we only had the leadership to say what I just said, I can guarantee you it'd be a different climate in this country. But, oh boy, we don't. Okay, my friends, another big hour coming up momentarily right here on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
Hot Talk 560 KSFO.
Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
All right, opening the mic in hour number two, the open mic to Mike. Look, the fact is that the country is melting down. We have a president, while Iraq is burning, while churches are being looted and burnt to the ground, Christians are being beheaded, others are being beheaded. He's speaking at an LGBT dinner about the magic of gay marriage. We have Doofus II in the soccer world of Brazil. There's nobody running this country. Nobody is running America. I don't know who's running America, the four horsewomen of the apocalypse. Who's running it? Meanwhile, the Nazis who are invading the nation of Iraq right now have put out a report detailing every murder and every act of bombing and mayhem that they have conducted since the last 2 years. The Islamic State of Iraq and Syria, the Islamo-Nazis of today, list each operation in Iraq, the assassinations one by one, the IEDs they've planted, and it proves that they're running this in a very organized manner. Now, you understand the threat that they pose, but here's something you should grasp of everything. What they're going to do, what they want to do, is take over Syria and this Sunni triangle in Iraq. The important emphasis here is on Syria, because your government, including John McCain, has been screaming that we should support these Islamo-Nazis for well over a year now. The very same lunatic John McCain who organized the overthrow of the legitimate leadership in Ukraine and almost provoked a world war with Russia, that same war hawk maniac, John McCain, who foams at the mouth virtually on a daily basis. You cannot turn a TV channel on without that egomaniac spouting off nonsense. These are the same murderers that he calls freedom fighters or rebels. These are the same murderers who he's wanted to send weapons to. Well, now they don't need John McCain. They've invaded Iraq. They've stolen tanks and American Humvees and God knows hundreds of thousands of rifles and ammunition. And they're bringing it all back like army ants to Syria to overthrow Assad. Now, what do you think they want to do if they overthrow the dictator Assad? Do you think that they want to create a kinder, gentler Syria? As bad as Assad is, these devils are worse. How is it that if I understand this, John McCain, the great war hero, doesn't understand this? How is it that all of the king's men and all the king's horses are so blind that they don't understand that the rebels are these people who are committing these beheadings and this mayhem in Iraq, but I understand it? How is it that they don't understand it? How is it that one citizen, without any power whatsoever, can see this like an eagle soaring over the canyons can spot prey? Do you understand how dangerous these fanatics are? They want to overthrow the government of Syrian President Assad so that they can establish not a kinder, gentler nation, but an Islamist caliphate in parts of Iraq and Syria that would be ruled under the insanity of Sharia law. And they are winning. They are blowing up checkpoints. They are demolishing houses. They're controlling cities. And wherever they invade, they blow up churches and they impose the thousand-year-old Sharia law and governance. This is what's going on. Meanwhile, John McCain is still talking about them as though they're some noble savages who we have to support in Syria. This is the same moron, John McCain, who helped overthrow a duly elected, democratically elected president in Ukraine. Do you understand that the political class is as dumb as a doorpost? Do you understand we have no hope on either side of the aisle that these are professional idiots who stand only to gain personally and have no knowledge of the world in which they're working? They don't even understand the world in which they're working. They live only for themselves. And I say that to a high degree of certainty with regard to, let's say, 90% of the politicians on both sides of the aisle don't even know what's going on. They're so involved in their own business. Democrat has a business. Their business is building the Democrat Party, not America. There is no America. Republicans have a business building the Republican Party. For them, there is no America. There are two businesses called the Republican business versus the Democrat business. And to them, America's business is not their business. And then we have a nation we the people reside in. Who's representing us? Tell me who. Is it the ice cream man? Is it the coffee bean? Who is it representing us? Who on the Republican side represents you? The coffee bean, the ice cream man, Clink, the gobbler, the stale bagel? Who is it? Who represents you? We certainly know that on the Democrat side, the scarf, the hawk, the corned beef, the slimy reptile and turban durban and the water carrier don't represent American values. We understand that. But where on the other side of the aisle do we have any representation? We don't. So as I say to you, it's enough to get a strong man very weak, and it's enough to make you turn inward and tend to your own garden and say, let the world go you know where, because I can't do anything about it. And yet I have to get up every day, 5 days a week, do a three-hour show, and I'm looking at this, it's emerging, it's getting worse, and I'm saying, and I'm going to be consistent now, it's not our business, because it isn't our business. It is not in our backyard. It's in the backyard of Jordan, it's in the backyard of Israel, it's in the backyard of Saudi Arabia, it's in the backyard of Lebanon, it's in the backyard of Turkey. Let them do something about it. You could even say it's in Europe's backyard. Let the French and the Germans send troops. They have very great, brave special forces. Let them do something about what's going on in Iraq. Let the French bomb. Let the Germans bomb. Let the English bomb. Let the Turks bomb. Let the Israelis bomb. Let the Jordanians bomb. Let the Saudis unleash their air force. It has nothing directly to do with the United States of America. I would rather see our troops sent to the Mexican border to stop the flood of human beings being brought in by the cartels to overtake and overthrow our border agents so that they cannot even look at the contraband that's being brought in around these children. That's what I say, and that's one man's opinion. And now let's go to the callers on the Savage Nation. Line 6, WFTL in Fort Lauderdale. Seth, welcome to the program. You're on the Savage Nation.
Mr. Savage, the Obama administration has defaced the Republican Party, and basically they have just done away with this, that it's white supremacists and that they're just awful people. We need to get commercials out there with the Hispanics and, you know, the black callers that call in and, you know, basically ramp up the Republican Party and say, hey, I'm an American too, and that we need to take this country back, because if not, we're not going to have any country left.
Well, I understand. Democrats are trying to say that the Republican Party only represents white people, but mainly it's being done by white people in the Democrat Party. I mean, if they really mean that, then Debbie Wasserman Schultz ought to quit, Schumer ought to quit, Hillary ought to quit. They're all white people, aren't they? And who are they kidding when they say the Republicans are a party of white people? What, suddenly they're all of a sudden in love with people of color?
Yeah.
All of a sudden they represent, Charles Schumer represents people of color? I was supposed to believe that? Or Hillary Clinton hangs out only with people of color? I mean, let's get down and dirty with this rubbish. You believe a word of these demagogues? I don't.
No, and the up north, it's just, they're so brainwashed that people get everything for free and they just don't even care about politics. They don't know anything about anything up there. As long as they're getting their schooling for free, education, and they just get brainwashed and they can't do anything.
I understand that. That's right. That's how you build a party. That's how you melt a nation down. That's how you turn a great nation like ours into Cesar Chavez's dictatorship. That's Obama's strategy under Saul Alinsky, step by step, day by day, tax people to death who are working and increase benefits for the bums and the leeches and the illegal aliens so they continue to vote for the illegitimate Socialist Democrat Party forever. I get it. But it's not over yet. The game is not quite over yet. There's still a lot to do. And the fact of the matter is, there's an awful lot for we, the people, to do. We have one election left. I'm working, frankly, towards this one election. I'll be honest with you. It's all going to be hinged on November. I'm throwing everything I have at that. It's a little too early to start talking about it. But I have been writing the book, Stop the Coming Civil War, because I think that is a possible long-term strategy of this corrupt administration. If they're willing to flood the country with illegal aliens, if they're willing to turn all the resources of the government against the legitimate citizen by spying on everybody, then they're capable of anything. Believe me, they're capable of anything. And this anything would include fomenting a rebellion in the country in order to declare martial law, seize weapons. You let your imagination run wild. And you could say, oh, it's right-wing conspiracy, it can't happen here. Well, I would argue it is happening here. It is happening here, step by step, stage by stage. So I myself have been planning for 1 year now to throw everything I have in the written word and the spoken word behind the elections coming up in November. And the book is a big part of it. You're going to play a big role in it by hopefully buying the book, and just by displaying the cover of that book, Stop the Coming Civil War, send the message as to what this government, this devious government, is planning and what it is doing and what it has been doing, all in one simple package. The cover alone will send the message. The cover of that book will be the billboard, and I am planning on then running a straight campaign right through the election, and I'm going to make the message very simple. Fire every Democrat. As bad as the Republicans are, they're the only hope we have. Because come November, if Harry Reid and the other despots are not thrown a big message, that if they don't lose control of the Senate, they retain control of the Senate, and God forbid, they gain seats in the House, you may as well pack your bags and leave, because there's not a socialist nation in this world that I know of that's any worse than what they're going to do here. If you think that the taxation now at 47 or 49% of your federal income tax is high, wait until it's 80%. If you think California is bad now with 13% of your income taxed by Jerry Brown in order to appease the illegitimate unions, wait until he makes it 20% state taxes. What are you going to do when these criminals steal 90% of your income and tell you, well, that's what was done in the 50s? That's only fair to take 90% of your income. Tell me what this country will look like in 10 years if these illegitimate despots on the left continue their war against the middle class. And that's why I say I'm going to throw everything I have at it with my book and my radio show. And it's all about this election. It's the last chance we have. And if the Democrats, despite all their illegitimate anti-American activities, continue to win, and they win in November, then I'm telling you that I'm giving up my political world. I will give it up. I may stay on the radio, but I won't do politics. There's no point to it. I won't do it anymore. I'd rather talk about recipes. I'd rather do meatball recipes. I'd rather play rock and roll music. I may just become a disc jockey. The one thing I will never do is I will not become a sex talker, because there's no need for that. The only people who talk about sex for a living are those who are impotent and don't have any. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from, SwissAmerica.com. Well, armed Mexican troops and police regularly jump the border to challenge our border patrol, and our troops are where? You want to send them to Iraq? No, we need our troops on the Mexican border. That's a failure of our homeland security. That's a failure of our army. Meanwhile, in Iraq, it's already gone. Two Iraqi divisions are dissolved, according to General Dempsey. That is 60,000 Iraqi troops that were trained by United States soldiers simply dissolved in northern Iraq last week. And in some cases, they even joined forces with advancing Islamo-fascist Sunni extremists. That's the result of our years in Iraq. And yet the neocons apparently cannot get enough American blood to satisfy their bloodlust. They're calling for bombing. They're calling for more bombing and more war. When will they learn it's not our job to be the world's policeman? Yes, it's a terrible thing to see this happen. But there are nations in the area that are more directly affected and threatened by this meltdown of Iraq. And I don't have to repeat the names of these nations. Just check out a world map. Or if you wish, just go to Europe. This is in Europe's backyard, not in our backyard. The Greeks, for example, they have a military. I know you say, are you kidding? The Turks have a military. Russia has a military. Why is Russia not sending troops in? Ask yourself that question. Does Russia gain by this dissolution of Iraq? How does Russia gain by this? Why is Putin not involved? Why? Maybe he would be involved if Hillary Clinton had not called him Hitler. Maybe if Putin had not been marginalized by every dunce in this administration, we'd have an ally in Russia instead of an enemy. So, look, there's a lot of criticism that could be spread around here, but I don't see any leadership on either side of the aisle, frankly. None whatsoever. Chattanooga, Tennessee. John, welcome. You're on the Savage Nation. Fire away. Go ahead, please.
Yes, sir. You got real close on just before the last break, and what I believe the Republicans, why the Republicans aren't doing anything to stop or curtail this, everything that's going on in the Middle East, down the border, everything. They want every American, every citizen, saying exactly what you just said, that they are the only hope come November. I think they're willing to let this country slide so far down that everybody is so desperate that they will just across the board elect the majority of Republicans.
John, do you actually think the Republicans are that far thinking, given that after Cantor got beaten to a pulp by an unknown competitor, they had the nerve, John Boehner had the nerve to say, we're not changing our policies one iota? John Boehner said, we're not changing our policies on immigration or on anything else. We're going to plunge ahead with our stupid policies. That's what he said. I don't think they're that far-seeing, John. I really don't.
I didn't say they were bright. Okay, but...
But wait, after the Cantor meltdown, Boehner went on record and said, we are not changing our policies. We're still going to pursue immigration reform. So how does that figure?
They're saying a lot, but they're not doing anything.
Well, he didn't say we heard the people speak and that we're stopping immigration reform because the people don't want it. I didn't hear Boehner say that.
He's not going to alienate the right. He's not going to alienate what base they have and lose that to the Tea Party.
But well, I don't know what you mean by that. The Tea Party is the right wing. The Republican Party is very left wing. I mean, I don't know where you're saying the right. There is no right in the Republican Party.
The old school Republicans. They don't want to lose their base of old school Republicans. They don't want to give in.
How would they lose their base of old school Republicans by saying we're going to crack down on illegal immigration? How would they lose anybody on that?
No, if they say that they're going, they're not going to crack down on immigration, they're going to give up on immigration reform, they would lose a lot of their base over to the Tea Party or, God forbid, the Dems. But if
I don't think they're that far thinking. I think that they're very prosaic in their thinking, very predictable in their thinking, and quite pedestrian in their thinking. That's three P's for the elephant. It's the Savage Nation. Do you believe Obama can still lead given his ratings collapse? I'll be right back to take your calls right here, along with all the breaking news.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. Savage.
You're not going to discuss the issue. There's no reason for you to be in talk radio.
You may as well continue to do stand-up on Fox News.
On Hot Talk 560 KSFO.
Well, they should be sent back as soon as it can be determined who responsible adults and their families are, because there are concerns about whether all of them can be sent back. But
all right, let's stop. This is the first major national politician, Hillary Clinton, to her credit, who said the children who are being brought in by the cartels and those in our government in cahoots with the cartels should be sent back soon. You asked the Border Patrol who was behind this flood of humans that are being sent over our border, and really they're cracking the social service networks across America. You ask the Border Patrol agents, they'll tell you that the cartels are behind this because they're human smugglers. And here's Hillary Clinton daring to step away from her Democrat cohorts, even from the Republicans, and say they should be sent back. It's pretty amazing to me. Yes, she's a politician. Yes, it doesn't mean anything if she just says it. But meanwhile, she is the first one to say it, which I think is interesting. And she didn't say it on Fox News because Bret Baier and Scarface didn't ask her a serious question. The only people who asked her questions were on CNN on the town hall meeting. That's as far as we've gotten here. Okay, your turn to talk on the Savage Nation. And while you're doing this in the last half hour of this hour, I'll give you the latest news as it breaks. 855-407-2282 is the phone number to the Savage Nation. Let's go to WJR in Detroit. John, welcome to the program.
Hello, Dr. Savage. Liberals are, progressives are social engineers, and I don't think it even matters if they win or lose in the fall. I think that Obama's going to get so fanatical with executive orders, and they're going to do such irreparable damage to the country that in certain ways the Republic is lost.
Well, I agree to a certain extent, because whatever he does can be undone to a great extent. The few things he's done that cannot be undone would include the following. This is off the top of my head. He has placed some of the most despicable leftists in the Justice Department, Civil Rights Division, who are there permanently. They cannot be fired without literally the action of Congress. He's planted Trojan horses in almost every aspect of this government for long-term damage to this republic, and I know that. What is our hope? Well, for one, we got to throw the Democrat socialists out, every last one of them. Then I'm afraid the Tea Party has a lot of work to do. We have to notify them which of these individuals, not only in the Justice Department Civil Rights Division, but in every other governmental agency. For example, the clown they put in charge of the EPA, who, with the stroke of a pen, tried to destroy the U.S. coal industry. She has to go. Arne Duncan in education, he has to go. Whole departments have to be dissolved. So if you can't move the communists out of their safe havens, then you eliminate the whole department itself, and then they have no job. If they refuse to change, then eliminate the entire Department of Education, or eliminate the entire EPA if you have to do it. It can be done. If there's a will, there's a way. If there's a vision, there's a will, there's a way. The problem is we have no vision except on talk radio and a few other places. Thank you for the call. I have the vision. I have the knowledge. I could reorganize this whole government in 2 years if I had to do it. Believe me, I could do it. I could sit down with a pen and a piece of paper like Obama, and I could go through every department, every department in this country, and I could change this country in 2 years. Just as he's ruined the country in 4 years or so, or whatever, five and a half, how long it's been, we don't even know, since this regime has been decimating America. You can undo it all in 2 years. You can get rid of all of the fanatics, and you can put this country back to healing. Yes, it's very sick. Yes, it's very sick. Yes, it's dying of cancer. But you can cure even a cancer patient. You need very powerful medication, and you need a healing diet, and you need meditation, and you need exercise, and that's what this nation needs. We can cure it of the cancer that has been injected into the body politic. And I, Dr. Savage, am trying to give you the medicine every day as a champion for America's borders, language, and culture. It's that simple. It's that simple. It's not that complex. What has been done can be undone. Any sick patient is theoretically capable of being healed. It's not dead yet. And while the country's still alive, we have to work on healing it. In order to heal it, we've got to get some new doctors into the hospital. It's that simple. You cannot vote for one Democrat and expect anything to change. They are almost demonic in their diabolical desire to destroy the nation. Now, it may not even be their original intent. That's something you have to understand. It's taken on a snowball effect from Obama and the four horsewomen of the apocalypse down. They started a snowball going, and they almost can't stop it themselves. It's gotten worse, and it's going to get worse yet. I promise you it's going to get worse. I promise you that this despot will do things you can't even imagine, and he will do them very quickly. And it'll catch you off guard, and you'll feel like giving up. You can't give up. I'm asking you all to hang in there until November, when finally this dictatorship gives you a chance to have a moment of democracy. As I've said to you before, we do not live in a democracy. We live in a dictatorship punctuated by little spurts of democracy which occur every few years. Well, your turn will come in November. It's the only chance you're going to have to show a slight bit of freedom and a slight bit of power. Right now you have no power. You are powerless because we do not even have the system that they have in nations where there's a parliamentary system. If we had a parliamentary system, there could be a vote of no confidence yesterday, and Obama could be thrown out of office. But he knows that he lives in a dictatorship. He knows that he sees the power. And his minions know that. And they're trying to do everything they can as quickly as they can while they have this absolute power. You know, it goes back to my letter to the president for Father's Day, where I appealed to him, where I compared him to a champion boxer who cannot be touched by his opponents. But I said in that letter, which is still up on michaelsavage.com, at the back of it, I said, it is not too late for a champion to stop pummeling his opponents and see where his beating them will lead. Killing your opposition is not wisdom, Mr. Obama. It is murder. I said that to him on Monday in an open letter. I'm sure he's not seen it. I understand that. But I'm sure the First Lady hasn't seen that. Instead, she's hugging an immigrant from Guatemala, 20 years old, who doesn't even speak English, welcoming him to America. Instead of welcoming one of America's greatest geniuses, Michael Savage, to the White House to say, you know what, you're a vocal critic of ours, but we respect your intellect, we respect what you've done, why don't you come and talk to us, maybe we can reason together. Instead, they'd rather hug an immigrant from Guatemala who doesn't even speak English. That's the kind of situation we have today, where the greatest minds of our generation are being kicked into the gutter, and people who don't even understand what's going on are being welcomed as the Einsteins of our time. That's how upside down it is. It's Alice in Wonderland. But the fact of the matter is, doesn't mean I'm going to stop thinking and writing and speaking. I'm going to continue. I'm going to continue and hope maybe somebody somewhere will be able to get this message to the president. I'll tell you why. Because he may not even understand the damage he's doing. You say, oh, yes, he does. He's smart enough to know that. I'm not so sure. I think he is surrounded by sycophants to such an extent that he doesn't even know the damage that their policies are causing in this country. I don't even think he knows what effect these illegal alien children are having upon a social service network in this country. I don't think he even understands that the liberals have had enough of it because they don't even have enough services to supply the homeless and the existing poor in this country. They're the ones who are feeling it faster than you are. They don't have the money nor the resources to take care of this horde, the surge that he has brought into this country. So there are many, many elements of things going on that he may not be aware of. He lives in his own bubble. He takes vacation after vacation. They keep him insulated from his own policy mistakes. And he may not even understand how unpopular his policies are, nor the devastating effects that they're having. Again, it's why I wrote him the letter. It was an appeal. I wasn't fooling when I said you're like a champion boxer who cannot be touched by your opponents. I was not fooling when I wrote you have outsmarted and outboxed them at every turn. But I appealed to him. And I appealed him to understand where his victories have and are leading the nation. And I told him to think about what winning is, and that winning is all is not really the proper way to think. And I wrote that while you may actually believe you're doing the best for our nation, the exact opposite may be true. Now, many of you said I'm an appeaser for taking the high road. I still stick by my message. And I still stick by my message that if we appeal to the best in him, maybe, just maybe, we have a chance to stop this downward spiral of the nation. Now, you may disagree with me, but that's one man's opinion. KSFO Lance, welcome to the program. Go ahead, please.
Yes, Dr. Savage, we're all anticipating your new book, Stop the Coming Civil War. And I'd like to remind you of two politicians you've had on your show. This goes back many years. One was Jerry Brown in the context of him trying to become governor of California again. And the other one was Ralph Nader when he was running for president. And I thought that these two people, and of course Schumer as well, exhibited considerable courage to come onto your show. And
well, I that's right. At the time, Jerry Brown, okay. Well, I don't know why they came on the show other than to show people that they were more centrist than leftist. And it certainly worked for them. I mean, I think Ralph Nader from time to time has had a very important message. Certainly that's why he came on the show. And I think Jerry Brown, who I donated money to way back when, because I agreed with his policies at that time, his policy of supporting the military academy in Oakland, California. And I went to a dinner. I was very impressed with the military academy. And that's why I made a donation to Mr. Brown's campaign. So, yes, you have to reach out across the aisle if you hope to heal a nation. I don't know whether we can still do it, though. I think Obama has so alienated the people in this country that no one wants to talk to each other.
It's a mess. And I'd like to get you off politics for 30 seconds, if you're willing. A place you've been, I'd like to hear more about it, Majorca.
Oh, my God, Majorca. Why, are you considering going to the Balearic Islands?
Went there, and it was quite something. It was mostly on a bus, sadly, but I thought they were beautiful. And, of course,
it's very interesting. You know, I wrote about Majorca in some way in my book. I have to find the book of my most recent book that was about train tracks. In the book Train Tracks, which I don't have my hands on right now, there's a story entitled An American Gangster in Spain, which is about my years in Majorca in 1964 or so, 65, when I was hanging around with writers in the bar Africa, mainly English writers, some of whom became quite famous, and I was dreaming of being a writer. But there was an American gangster who was hiding in Majorca, who I rubbed shoulders with, so to speak, and I had a very dangerous situation that almost resulted in a tragedy for me. And that's the story, An American Gangster in Spain, in the book Train Tracks. And if you stay on the line, Lance, I'll have someone take down your email address and we'll get it to the publisher and we'll send you a copy of Train Tracks and you can read An American Gangster in Spain, which is set in Majorca. It's funny you should mention Majorca, because of all places on earth, when I first went there in 64, I don't know what year, 65, I think, I remember writing in my journal, which I'm reviewing right now and editing, how amazed I was about pines running down to the sea, and that when I got older and I was established and I can pick the place I live, I'd live in a place where pines run down to the sea. Well, right now I live in Marin County, California, in San Francisco, and in Marin County the pines run down to the sea. And as a result of looking back, I know the Bible says don't look back or you'll turn to a pillar of salt. In my case, looking back has helped me see that I've actually realized my dreams as my young man's dreams. It's pretty interesting because, you see, many of us keep pushing forward and we don't know when to stop and we don't even know when we've arrived at where we were intending to get. I really have arrived where I've intended to get only I really didn't know it until recently when I looked back and saw my early dreams. So, you know, I don't know. You want me to read from some of that stuff? It may be too maudlin or childish. I can do it another day. I don't even want to reach for the journal now. And I think it might be fun to do it another day and avoid politics for a little while. 855-400-7282 is the phone number. Let's go to some of the callers who've been waiting a long time. Let's begin we have to take a quick break. Okay, quick break, then calls right here on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
Savage.
Now, the conventional wisdom says that all this change is due to young people growing up with different attitudes than their parents, than their parents and their grandparents had, and anybody who has kids knows that there's some truth to that. The basic attitude is, I'm sorry, what is it that you're talking about here? What's the big deal? But what's been remarkable is the way Americans of all age groups are increasingly embracing marriage equality. They understand love is love. And for many people whose minds have changed, it was love that did it. Love for the child, or the grandchild, or the friend, or the co-worker.
All right, Mr. Obama, if only you had love for America, we'd all rest easier at night. I think it's beyond comprehension that at a time when Iraq is burning, a time when churches are being burnt to the ground, a time when our border is being overrun by illegal aliens, that our president would go to an LGBT fundraising dinner in New York City while the other doofus is in Rio de Janeiro at a soccer game. What does this tell you? This is biblical, it's historic in its measure. Nero fiddled while Rome burned. Well, maybe if this country survives and we have legitimate historians, they'll write something to the effect that Obama diddled while America burned, because that's exactly what's going on. That's exactly what's going on. I could ask you, how do you feel about a president who, in the midst of all of these worldwide disasters, brought about by his policies, by the way, goes to a lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transvestite dinner and talks about the wonders of gay marriage? How do you feel about that? Do you feel that America's a better place because we have such a president? Does it make you feel that we're a stronger nation because he focuses on gay marriage at a time like this? Or does it make you feel that the man is so completely dedicated to his myopic agenda that this country is in very grave danger? Does this make me a right-winger? And does this make you a liberal to think that this is not the advancement of humanity that he pretends it is? Is he the advanced president that you think he is? Or is he a retrograde anti-American president, as I think he is? Well, these are questions that you'll have to answer for yourself after you stop listening to the show tonight. And I'm sure after you do, you can't wait for me to start again tomorrow. For those of you who love me and those of you who hate me, here's some good news. Despite the ACLU, Georgia and Missouri carried out the first successful execution since the botched lethal injection in April, and two of the worst characters on earth are now dead where they belong. One of them killed and raped a girl in 1989. He was given a lethal injection and died, thank God.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, the Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
And I want to thank all the incredible friends in the room for the support and guidance that so many of you have offered my administration over the past 5.5 years. Now, sometimes you guys were a little impatient. Sometimes I had to say, will you just settle down for a second? We've got this. But because of your help, we've been able to do more to protect the rights of lesbian, gay, and bisexual, and transgender Americans than any administration in history.
I'm speechless. I'm speechless because as the world burns, this man is focused on lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender Americans. Now, we all admit and agree that all Americans should have equal protections under the law. No one would argue with that. But why would the man, on a night like last night, when Iraq is burning to the ground, when churches are being burnt to the ground, when the border is being overrun by hundreds of thousands of illegal aliens, and so many other things are wrong, missing IRS emails, something that would occur in a third world nation, where administration would say that emails are missing when there's a congressional investigation. How do you feel about the President of the United States pandering to a pressure group like this last night in New York at a time like this? How do you feel about Joe Biden at a time like this watching a soccer game in Brazil? Does it make you feel that we're living in a better nation or a more dangerous nation? Does it make you feel that we have somebody in charge of this nation, a human being called an adult who understands the world that they live in, or somebody else? Well, I think you don't even have to call because I know how you feel. Let's go to some of the callers who have been holding. Let's go to WABC in New York. Jim, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, Dr. Savage, I want to thank you for all the hard work you're doing. And I just want to say something. I'm sorry about all the problems that are going on. I'm sorry about Benghazi. I'm sorry about the borders. I'm sorry about a lot of things. But what we need to focus on right now is this IRS thing. It is an absolute insult to our intelligence, what is going on. What they did with this IRS thing was shut down a group of people and affect a presidential election. And I'm not a bit surprised that he's talking to groups and going to soccer games and doing whatever, because what they want to do is they want the people of this country to be distracted long enough for them to be able to run the clock out on this IRS thing. This thing is high crimes. And we need this to...
Yes, it's another one. Yeah, I agree with you. For them to say there are emails from six top leaders of the IRS who were involved in the conspiracy to deny 501c3 status to conservative groups and other crimes against the people is an impeachable offense. And it comes right from the top, and you know it and I know it. The reason the emails are missing is because they can be traced right back to the Oval Office. That's my guess. Don't you? Don't you think that's why suddenly the emails disappeared?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Laughing at us. Obama's laughing at us and his main man there.
Well, why doesn't the FBI go in and seize the hard drives as they do with a child pornographer? I mean, the FBI was just sent to Libya to apprehend this very dangerous mastermind of the Benghazi embassy scandal. Why doesn't the FBI go into the IRS and seize the computers?
Dr. Savage,
the answer is because the FBI is no longer an independent organization. It's an arm of the Obama administration. And if the people don't understand that this is now a dictatorship, I got another guest coming for them. These are supposed to be independent agencies which report not only to the president, and do not function solely at the behest of the executive office, but also at the behest of Congress. But they no longer do so. Do you understand that? I'm sure you do, and I understand your anguish. And many people feel the same way. It's hard to know which scandal or which situation is the worst under this administration. But I think we'd all agree that the meltdown of the ratings in this administration is because all of these things that he's touched have turned to smoke. Do you think the U.S. should be involved in the Iraq situation? I've said no. The neocons who got us there in 2003 or 4 are at it again. Now they're trepidatious and they're saying, well, no boots on the ground, just American bombers. I disagree with that. I disagree with that as well. Okay, some more callers. Vivian on KKOB, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yes, I'm a lesbian, and I'll tell you something. I'm scared to death of where Obama's taking us. He doesn't love the country, you know, and he's obsessed with race. He can't decide whether he's white or black, and I think he's a communist. I don't know, but I'm a lesbian. He doesn't represent me. He doesn't.
Wow, hold on. Let's hear it for the one conservative lesbian in the United States of America.
You better believe it.
Well, you're not alone, Vivian. I do know from my own experience years ago when I had a television show in San Francisco, my bodyguard was a lesbian cop. She was tougher than any three men I've met recently, and she was also as conservative as you are. So this doesn't come as a shock to me, honestly.
I remember her. She was cool.
Oh, she was tough. She was a toughie. I haven't kept in touch with her. No, but Vivian, you're right. I mean, the fact of the matter is, why does he wrap himself in gay and lesbian, let us say, issues so much? What's that about?
He thinks we're sheeple. He thinks that we need him to free us. He's not the savior. He's not, you know what I mean? We have to take control of our own self-dignity, each of us. It doesn't matter whether we're gay or straight or black or white or whatever. A politician isn't going to write it for it. You know what I'm saying? We have to take control of our own...
But why is this issue the only issue that seems to animate him in such a manner? What is this about him? Why is he so involved with this?
Trying to draw attention away with each and every nightmare he's, you know, dropping on us.
Okay. Well, I kind of think that that's true. You know, there's another element to this, Vivian. I've said it over the years, and I don't do this very often. The individuals who identify as gay and lesbian are generally more politically involved than the general population, and that's probably because of their minority status, their sexual minority status. And I feel that as important as a sexual identity issue is, it's not as important as a nation that was once the freest in the world that is becoming something other than that. And how gays and lesbians cannot understand that if we lose our freedoms, they're going to lose theirs as well, is the real issue. And I think that they need to become more activist on other issues, issues other than the sexual. That's my feeling.
Absolutely. And I'm a card-carrying NRA member, too.
I don't blame you. All right, Vivian, thanks. Thanks for calling the show. That's kind of an interesting call and one that you don't hear too often on the Savage Nation. It's a very interesting one. We have time for one more call right now on the program, and I'm really pleased to have such amazing callers right now. Patricia in North Carolina, WNBU Radio. Welcome to the program. Go ahead, please.
Thank you, Michael. I just want to let you know you have the support of the military, by the way. Way back in 2009, I think it was, when you wanted us to flash our lights.
You know, yes. I was on later in the day, and I would say, if you agree with me, flash your lights on the highway. What happened?
We had so many lights flashing by Camp Lejeune, home of the Marine Corps. You wouldn't believe it.
Well, I would believe it, because the Marines know that I was probably their strongest voice in national radio, trying to raise attention for what Bush was doing to them over in Iraq, that when they would do their job too well, they court-martial them. So the problems didn't just begin with this administration, Patricia. It's almost endemic in the government. I don't know what happens when people get into government, but they seem to lose their bearings. It may be just the nature of the beast. And, of course, big government is the real problem. The bigger the government, the less human they are, and the less human they are, the more detached they are from humanity and the needs of their own citizenry. That's a given. It sounds trite, but it isn't. It's very important. Pittsburgh, FTW Radio. Dylan, thanks for waiting. You're on the program. What's on your mind?
Oh, yeah. Hello. I'm actually a young person that listens to your show all the time, and I would just like to say that we are listening to you. There are a lot of my friends that are the same age. They listen to you.
By the way, there's a huge number of younger people who are very, very, very not liberal, to put it in a double negative.
Yep.
They're very not liberal. I see a huge surge of younger people who are so sick and tired of being lied to. You see, the politicians think that by throwing things to you about the environment and the whales and gay and lesbian and this and that, that you're going to take the bait and forget what they're really doing. And I don't think you're buying it.
No, I'm not. I don't buy any of this crap that Obama says, frankly. And I'm embarrassed that, you know, a lot of people in my generation is buying in all this. It's frankly embarrassing.
Well, okay, so let me ask you, why don't you buy into it? What made you so different?
Honestly, I've seen what Obama has done to the African-American people. I've seen his tactics, and I don't believe that government is the solution to helping people's problems.
Well, you know, last week And I came back on radio. I said I visited the Martin Luther King Jr. site, the site where he was assassinated, and the Civil Rights Museum in Memphis, Tennessee. And I said that we've gone from I have a dream to I have a scheme, where so many people have taken the message of Martin Luther King Jr. and run with it for their own personal gain. And then I asked the real question, and I asked African Americans in particular to call, are you doing better under Obama or worse? And many of them said, you're 100% right. We've not done any better under Obama. He's just using us. So don't think that he's getting away with his malarkey across the board. He isn't, Dylan. Thanks for the call. That brings us to about 17 minutes after the hour. I think you see all the picture, the big picture out there. And again, my main point today, and one that you shouldn't forget, is this. As important as civil rights are for all of us, when the world is burning because of this man's policies, the world is melting down because of his policies. Don't you understand that Iraq imploded because of his cut and run? Of course we wanted the war over. But any strategist would tell you, you don't just run out of a country that you were in for 10 years and not expect the vacuum to be filled by the worst elements. You leave a force, a retaining force there, to protect what you gained. He said, no, pull them all out. And look what happened. What happened was the vacuum was filled by the Islamo-Nazis of today. And so to cover that up, LGBT, the whales, the oceans, all very important, but not as important as a world that's on fire. Because if the world burns to the ground, then the whales go with it. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from, SwissAmerica.com.
For the loser now will be later to win, for the times they are a-changing.
It's important for us to send a message to the world that when Americans are attacked, no matter how long it takes, we will find those responsible and we will bring them to
long
justice.
Arm of the law.
And that's a message I sent the day after it happened, regardless of how long it takes.
You got the picture. Last week it was a stunt. Last week Benghazi was a stunt of the Republicans. This week he's the long arm of the law reached the terrorists. Hello, all you good liberals. This is San Francisco Savage. I hope you're enjoying this nice day. Would you please give up your house keys and your Prius keys to all those children from Guatemala and Honduras who are now arriving on your doorstep? The children you all so wanted. All you good liberals in New York who've craved more and more of the world's poor, would you please deposit your keys at your local Arasa station so the little girls and the little boys from Guatemala and El Salvador can have a heads up in American society. Where do you go with a show like this? What's the country? Where's the country? Where's America? I woke up one day and it was gone. I looked for America and it wasn't there. Suddenly I was living in Venezuela. Let's hope it's the early days of the Chavez regime in Venezuela and it doesn't become the latter days of Venezuela. Right now it's the early days of Venezuela. They haven't yet seized TV stations because they don't have to. See, the one difference between Obama and Chavez is that Chavez had to seize TV stations because there was opposition to his socialist regime. But since the TV stations are no longer opposing Obama, there's no reason to seize them. What does he have to seize them for if they're putting out his message? That's all. We're worried about Iraq. Meanwhile, the border's being overrun. That's all. That's all. That's why I'm just going to play music and lighten it up a bit. And I'll give you my brilliant insights in the mix because there's nothing else to do. So Crystal says we should go back into Iraq. Where is Crystal now? Is he having hummus somewhere on the Upper East Side? Is it martini time yet? They don't even drink martinis, I don't think. They're all such ninnies. They're on antidepressants. Oh, yes. I miss New York. That's why I'm saying it. I keep thinking of moving. I wake up every morning and I keep thinking I should move back to New York. But it's too late. Now it's too late. I should have bought an apartment. It's like the old joke. Used to hear that in 1985. Did you hear what happened with real estate on 3rd Avenue? Oh, it went up. It's $65,000 now for a whole apartment. Oh! Why don't you buy one now? No, now it's too late. It was $30,000 a month ago. So now it's $5 million for a decent apartment, 3 to 5. You can get very little. Say, I'm not going to buy anything. It's too late. Well, with the inflation that's going on with eggs and fish and meat, The apartment could be like the Weimar Republic tomorrow. What do you think they call real estate for? It's really tied to inflation. What you're seeing in housing in cities like New York, San Francisco, is actually the real peg of inflation that's going on. That's not an anomaly. That's the real estate. That's the real value of money. Your money is becoming so worthless that people want something real, so they buy real estate that has real value. That's what it's about. It's always been true. That's why in the Weimar Republic, after World War I, because of reparations that were imposed upon the German people by the League of Nations, they turned a loaf of bread that cost €1 billion, and people were bringing wheelbarrows full of paper money to buy bread. They couldn't believe what was going on. The paper money became valueless. Why? Because the League of Nations illegally and punitively demanded reparations from Germany for World War II, and that's what led to Hitler. Had they not been draconian towards the German people, a lunatic right-wing maniac like Hitler never could have gotten a foothold in German society. But the people were fed up with the unemployment. They were fed up with the liberalism. They were fed up with communists beating people up in the streets.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Dance. This is disco, is it? I think that's a disco beat. It's disco. When I think of disco, I think of the guy with the hair plugs who flies 747s, the actor. I like Travolta. I can't remember his name. I remember the hair plugs. I feel bad for John Travolta. I don't have any enmity towards him. Why do they need hair plugs? I mean, this is life. As a man gets older, here's what happens. Hair grows where you don't want it, and you lose it where you do want it. So hair grows on a... No, hair grows on the back of your knuckles. You don't need it there. You look like an ape. Hair grows on the back of your back. You don't need it there. I mean, you're not competing with King Kong. And hair grows in the back. All of the hippies, the older hippies who get married at 50 or 60 and have children, they specialize in the ponytail with the bald front and changing a child's diaper on the restaurant table while you're out with your girlfriend. You ever seen those people in restaurants? They have to make a show of their child. I love this song. Play it loud. I like this. That's Travolta. Staying alive, staying alive, staying... Well, Nero fiddled while Rome burned, and Obama's diddling while America burns. Staying alive, staying alive. There's no question about it. It's nuts. It's nuts. Iraq is on fire because of his cut-and-run policies. They're burning churches to the ground. He doesn't say a word about it. Instead, he goes and talks about gay marriage as though that's the salvation for humanity. It's unbelievable to me. And then we have the other doofus in Rio de Janeiro watching a soccer game, and we're supposed to take the Democrat Party seriously? Are you kidding me? Now, in the midst of all of this, you have the very same chicken hawks, some call them neocons, calling for blood and warfare and bombs. The very same people who got so many of our boys killed are doing it again. The neocons who gave us the false lie about weapons of mass destruction are at it again, and I include Charles Kraut, Sauerkraut Hammer, on that. My position is quite clear. The hell with Iraq. How's that for a position? Let them kill each other. How's that for a position? Let Saudi Arabia, let Israel, let Jordan, let the other countries in the area who are directly threatened by the Islamo-fascist murderers do something about it. It's not our place to be the world's policemen. Don't the graves speak to you when you see military cemeteries in America? Don't they speak to you how much blood is enough for this country to expend on somebody else's civil war? The Shiites and the Sunnis have been killing each other for 1,000 years. Here's, you know, I don't like Charles Krauthammer. I'll tell you why. Because he hides behind a sour demeanor and thinks that just looking sour makes him look intellectual. Now, Krauthammer's always been a Democrat. That's fine, but now they're calling him a conservative columnist, Charles Krauthammer. He's calling for air power against the Islamists in ISIS. I don't even like ISIS too much because I don't think that's the proper acronym for these people. I would call them fascist murderers instead of ISIS. What are you calling them ISIS for? Fascist Islamic murderers or Islamic fascists or Islamo-Nazis is a better word. It's unbelievable to me. They're capturing troops and shooting them in the back of the head by the truckload, and the degenerates in the UN say nothing. So, you know, there's a lot to get angry over, and I'm not going to be the one to get angry for you. You're the one who has to get angry come November. You have one shot at this country. That's November. You press R. Now, as bad as they are, that's all we've got. The only chance we have is to throw out the entire Socialist Party. Forget the word D. D stands for S. S stands for socialist. But it stands more than for socialist. There are socialists who are quite patriotic, and there are socialists who are also quite militant and also quite macho. These are cowardly anti-American socialists. Every last one of them in the Democrat Party needs to be thrown out. You must press R to save America. So as I say, the average American girl out there doesn't know what Iraq is from her Iraq. She doesn't know Iraq, your Iraq, my Iraq. They don't know. They don't care either. If the Twin Towers went down, they blame it on Nixon. They blame it on those evil Republicans for not letting in more Muslims. Yeah, I mean, the logic would be that they learned at Harvard or NYU is that if we were only kinder to Muslims, they wouldn't have blown up the Twin Towers, number one, and they wouldn't blow up the Empire State Building, number two. We have to let more of them in. And then, of course, then everything would be good so they can pursue pointy shoes and orgasms, which is, of course, the object of living. And the object of living used to be to get married and have a family. Today it's to get pointier shoes than your girlfriend and have more orgasms than your girlfriend. That's the America of today. It's not sexist, but I'm telling you, it's the truth. That's why if I tell you on this national show, if I want to talk about Iraq, Benghazi, Iran, Hillary, illegal border crossing, they're not interested. They don't care. They don't know what Iraq is. They never heard of it. They have no idea where it is, what it is, or why we should care. And in a sense, I agree with them. The difference is that I don't have pointy shoes. And the thing is, it's quite interesting that they captured the mastermind behind the Benghazi debacle, and Obama suddenly came back from a golf trip, and they said, "Hey, Mr. President, we got the guy who, we can blame it on. Who? What? Who? Yeah, leave me wait. Let me get undressed, take a shower, schwitzing from the plane. I'll be out in a couple hours. I will talk about." So he comes out, he gives a speech. "Oh, well, the long arm of the law, an American is attacked in this despicable event that Chris Stevens, our ambassador, and three brave Americans died. We promised we'd follow him around the world, and the long arm of the FBI, along with our special forces, would capture him." Just last week, he was saying it was a stunt. Well, I swear to you, you could find tape from last week where the president, Hillary Clinton, John Kerry, all on the same page created for them by George Clooney and his friends in Hollywood, which is whenever Benghazi comes up, say it's just a Republican stunt. It has no meaning. I read it in every liberal newspaper in America. Stunt, 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 stunt. Like the Communist Playbook, they put out a Talking Points memo every morning. When asked about Benghazi, say it's a Republican stunt. Now all of a sudden it wasn't a stunt. Now there's a mastermind. A mastermind. So I have a suspicion, since it's all orchestrated, and that we the sheeple have to live with all of this if we're political at all, I would say from my point of view there's a possibility that Obama and Hillary and the others will have this mastermind confess at some time in the very near future, maybe just around the time of the Benghazi hearings when Hillary's bacon is about to be cooked. And the mastermind will confess that the embassy attack was unplanned, it was spontaneous, it was provoked only by the anti-Muslim video. There's a high likelihood. Now, I won't be proven. Let's say that does happen. You're going to remember I said it to you, like everything else I predicted would happen. Nah. What am I going to get credit for it? People are suddenly going to say, "Oh, that Savage is a genius. Wow, that guy really has a way." Nah, they're not going to say it. No one remembers what I say. That's all. So, what's the point? If you care to comment on any of my comments, that's like the 400 troops that Obama sent to protect. They're protecting somebody. I don't know who. Let's say he sent 275, 300 troops into Iraq to protect, I think, our contractors, right? So when our protectors get surrounded by the Sunnis or the Shia, whoever the Sunnis get, I don't know whether the Sunnis or the anti-Sunnis get them, then we're going to have to send more protectors in to protect our protectors. And then suddenly we have Vietnam all over again. But don't say I didn't warn you about that either. And, of course, Bill Kristol of the Weekly Standard wants the war, as do the neocons in the military-industrial complex. I mean, K Street, are you kidding? They just had the best feeling they've had in years, the thought of another war. But my opinion is it's their war, not ours. And I'll tell you who should be fighting it, not us. Not one American troop should die for this. The people who should be fighting this are the Saudis. They have a significant air force and military. When have they last lifted a finger? I mean, they're Sunnis. Why don't they send an air force in against the Shiites. Well, it's because the Sunnis are overrunning Iraq, so they're very happy. That's why. Okay, so let's rule out the Saudis, who love the invasion of Iraq by the Sunnis. Okay, so not the Saudis, because they're Sunnis as well. All right, so then who do you have left? Well, the Pakis could do it. Pakistan, they got a powerful military. They should be doing it. Israel should be involved. Why is Israel never fighting? Why? I mean, we're told from the beginning, all those years of justification of all that money sent to Israel was, oh, they're our best friend in the Middle East. If they seize the oil fields and Israel will protect the oil. Well, no, well, they're not allowed to, because the minute they do anything, then all the sides of the, all Muslims will hate them. So I guess the Israelis really don't have any need to fight for our interests ever. Even now, when Iraq is threatening to blow up right on their, basically on their border. I mean, Israel's very close to it. Jordan has a significant air force and military, and they're highly trained. Why don't the Jordanians fight? Why don't the French send troops, or the British, or the Italians, or the Germans? Why is it our business? Why must we be the policemen of the world, Mr. Bill Kristol of the Weekly Standard? How do you call yourself a conservative at the Weekly Standard when you're such a warmonger? I don't understand it. That's a conservative value, to be a warmonger? When did the Weekly Standard decide that being a conservative means you're a warmonger? I think the opposite is true. At least that's my opinion. Well, you know who's doing this to us, and it's all part of the Alinsky plan. Those of you who studied Obama's mentor, Saul Alinsky, understand exactly what is going on and exactly what the clown in the White House and his minions in the Justice Department, they're busting it wide open like a can of sardines, and they're doing it on purpose. What do you mean I'm in favor of border security? How many years have I heard this trash about we're in favor of border security? What the hell are our troops doing? Put our troops on the border with Mexico. Put our National Guard on the border with Mexico. And presto, you have border security in 5 minutes. What do you mean you have to study this? How much do you have to study? What's there to study? The cartels are behind this. Ask the Border Patrol agents who know more about this than anyone in America what's going on. The cartels are ushering the children across the border. I've asked over and over again, how do you think they're getting through Mexico without being molested? The Mexicans treat El Salvadorans and Guatemalans very badly. I have a Guatemalan friend, a very tough guy, and he had not been so tough, he'd be dead. The Mexicans beat them up and robbed them. They don't let them walk through their country to America. They beat them up and leave them for dead half the time. So you're telling me all these children are just walking through Mexico? And the fact of the matter is they're being ushered by the drug cartels who do human smuggling as well. So don't tell me we don't know what's going on. If we the people know what's going on, how could the Department of Homeland Security pretend he's powerless? How can Obama go to an LGBT dinner and sit there like a moron talking about gay marriage while this is going on, while Iraq is burning? How could Biden be at a soccer game while this is going on? The country is burning. It is falling apart. So, that's the point. Be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.
Okay, here we go into the end of hour number three, and here's what's going on in the world. While the world burns, while the most murderous Islamists on the planet are beheading people and burning churches to the ground. Let me repeat that. Every city that they conquer, they burn churches to the ground. While this is going on, the commander-in-chief is giving a speech before the lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender crowd in New York City at a fundraiser. At the same time, Vice President Dufus is in Brazil attending a soccer game. Now, let me ask you something. Is there a liberal who listens to this show who is not alarmed at the fact that the old adage, Nero fiddled while Rome burns, is alive and well today under Obama and Biden? Is this overly critical of a president that while the world is burning, churches are being burnt to the ground, and the Islamists are seized, have, by the way, they've seized U.S. tanks and Humvees, which they're moving to Syria to help their buddies overthrow Assad. Thank you, John McCain. You've gotten them the weapons that you've wanted. Now they have tanks, John. And you didn't even have to use U.S. airplanes. John McCain, you should get the Nobel, well, the anti-Nobel Prize. All while this is going on, the King of Spain, in deference to his people who recognize that there's economic hardship, is practicing frugality. My headline is King of Spain More Frugal Than King of America. This is the most arrogant administration in modern history, in any history. In the past, it never could have happened. They would have been arrested for what they're doing. I'll stop right there because you don't want to hear the abuse of power. Well, then maybe you ought to read my novel, Abuse of Power, by Michael Savage. Maybe that'll help you understand what's going on. Maybe you don't even know what country you live in. Now, what's shocking, last night Hillary was interviewed on a couple of channels. Of course, they threw her ice cream cones at Fox News, as we thought. And she went on CNN. She was asked harder questions at the CNN town hall than she was by the teddy bear Brett and Scarface on Fox. And Hillary Clinton said illegals should be sent back soon. Hillary Clinton said the illegal children being run over the border by the drug cartels, you heard me, should be sent back soon. Not one Republican said one word about returning the illegal aliens immediately. Not one of them. She's tougher than the coffee bean. She's tougher than the ice cream man. She's tougher than the gobbler. She's tougher than Clink. She's to the right of the Republicans on sending these illegal alien children back where they came from. She's smarter than they are. Well, those are some of the headlines. And then, of course, the neocons are at it again, asking for boots on the ground and air attacks. There's Charles Sauerkraut of Fox News again demanding that we should attack ISIS with air power in Syria. Can you believe this? He's not a conservative columnist. Charles Sauerkraut Hammer is simply a neocon warmonger who hides behind his sour demeanor to pretend he's some great intellectual. Well, dear Mr. Krauthammer, you can fool all of the people all of the time, but you can't fool me any of the time. Then there's Richard Pearl, one of the original neocons, writing and saying, don't blame the neocons for the Iraq crisis. And then he's hiding behind anti-Semitism. He says neocon is a name used to describe Jewish Americans. Richard, come up with something better than that. It doesn't matter whether you're Jewish or Muslim or Hindu or Buddhist or Christian. What matters is that you're the one who got us into the Iraq war last time, and now you want it to happen again, Richard. Get real. Stop hiding behind anti-Semitism. That game has been played too many times. You can only cry wolf so many times, Richard. Your policies got us in the war last time, and they're not going to get us in it this time, are they? Well, maybe it will. Maybe with you and the Weekly Standard and the other brave men in uniform at the Weekly Standard, we'll go back to war. The questions for today included, has your opinion of Hillary Clinton changed over the years? Is she as leftist as some Democrats? Do you think she'll actually move the country to the right? Why do you think Hillary seems to be the right of the coffee bean, the ice cream man, Clink, the gobbler, and the stale bagel on the Republican side? On the liberal side, we've got new names for them. Debbie Wasserman and Schultz, the water carrier. Dianne Feinstein, the scarf. Pelosi, the screeching hawk. Charles Schumer, the human corned beef. Gutierrez, the slimy reptile. And Durbin, Turban Durbin. That's it for America today on the Savage Nation. You've given me 15 minutes, and I've given you America. Good night, and God bless America.
Savage.